Arm's Length Reporting, for investors who want the whole story. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Hey, welcome to Here We Are, Here We Are, Here We Are, Corlin Economics Report. I have a new co-host, by the way, that you're going to find out about in the second half of the show, which is dynamite, by the way. Got Dan Pacenti on the line with me right now. I'm going to get Danny's opinion about what's going on with the Biden administration right now. It's absolutely amazingly, I guess I'd have to say negative, some of the actions that are going on right now. The latest action happened to be the pullout in Afghanistan. Pullout without getting all Americans out, being fully aware that anybody who was left who could be considered by the Taliban to be an ally of America would be executed. This is the executions are going on right now publicly in the street. The Taliban is going door to door. The Biden administration did give information about American allies who were still over there. These allies are now being executed, I would have to say, probably in front of their houses in the street. Whoa, isn't that amazing? Dan is a, I would have to say, relatively frequent contributor to the editorial pages, op-ed pages of various major newspapers. He also manages a little bit of money somewhere in the neighborhood of the very, very high six figures. He's been a friend of the Corlin family. Now, I think we're going on about 30 years, Dan.
Long time. It's been an honor being your friend.
Long time. Having said that, Dan, you got the next, or at least the rest of this segment, to talk a little bit about what you think about the administration is doing. Let me break in every once in a while because I got some specific questions for you. You got the mic, my man.
Well, I got to say, I have been irritated by a lot of politicians over the years, but this has disgusted me. I haven't had this much rage in a long time. I've seen some really ridiculous things, the AOCs, the crazies that come from the left, but oh my gosh, this person committed a purely political act. This idea of removing our soldiers from a battlefield, he wanted to be able to say it, he wanted to brag that he ended a war. And the way he did it, and they keep trying to conflate these two things, leaving a battlefield and the way you did it. But the way he did it, he got people killed, he put people in harm's way, he embarrassed our country. He made it very risky for us to operate. And I am just sickened by this. I can't believe it. I don't know under what metric you could say this is extremely successful, like you went out to say extraordinarily successful. I mean, if you use the metric of we put them in a really difficult circumstance and they were able to get some people out by that metric, I guess there's a success there. But every other metric, leaving that much material, war material, on the battlefield, some 80, 85, 90 million, I'm never sure about the numbers, but it's in, billions. It's in the tens of billions. I mean, it's stunning. And that's not the worst of it. The worst of it, obviously, is all the people that are now at risk and all the people that were killed or maimed. I mean, we put our guys at unnecessary amount of risk to get people out of there, losing 13 people, you know, injuring or maiming another 15, and then the unspeakable things that are happening right now, which we won't even hear all the stories, where they just brutalize people in front of their families, torture them, kill them, just absolute, the most atrocious behavior you can imagine that's going on. And I think what this administration just decided is, hey, let's just get out of there. All the other stuff will be anecdotal. You won't hear it. There won't be any film of it. And you know, we'll just accept the losses. Well, that's not how civilized countries behave. We had control over that country. We could dictate terms. We could have gotten people out of the far reaches of that country first. quietly. We could have then retreated back through into Kabul. We could have kept our bases and our airfields. We could have controlled the terms and then gotten our guys out under normal circumstances and got all of our equipment out or destroyed it or given it to the resistance or something. But that was just disastrous. This guy, and what's amazing to me is that he runs around, and I guess he's got to do it because it's such a disaster. He had to go out and either claim a different story and conflate the two issues of getting out and how he did it. And he has to continue that line because it was such a disaster, because he's not an honest man, or maybe he's not with it. Neither one of those are good explanations. But he fired nobody. That's just shocking to me. And he didn't resign. And the press isn't really holding them to the standard. The right-wing press is, you know, angry, but they're of very little value. So we're in a tough spot here. We've got this guy for another 3.5 years, and I just don't know what's going to happen. I'm hoping the midterms people stand up. Americans made a mistake. You know, we're not allowed to question the election that happened just recently that threw Trump out. We went from very powerful, vigorous leadership to this weekend.
Well, you know what, Danny? Rather than continue our diatribe on Donald Trump, I don't want to do that right now.
Yeah.
I don't want to do it right now. But I want to say that, you know, San Francisco is really, really responsible for the administration right now. I mean, Willie Brown's girlfriend got ahead politically and is now the Vice President of the United States. This is documented. Willie Brown, when he was the mayor of San Francisco's girlfriend, was, and this isn't being derogatory whatsoever, it's just a fact. I've had lots of girlfriends in my lifetime, as have you. It's a fact. Kamala Harris was an item with Willie Brown. No question whatsoever about that. Am I putting her down because I'm saying that? No. I mean, hell, I had some great girlfriends before I met Kathy, so am I putting them down when somebody says, well, you know, Janie or Marianne or somebody like that was your girlfriend? That's being actually, I would have to say, more complimentary than anything else. I am very, very angry also, and before I turn the microphone back over to you, I want to say one thing, and that is I have found a source that I have personally contributed to of what I think is incredibly important information about what's going on in our country from a societal standpoint and also from a political standpoint, although both of them are obviously pretty well entwined. But there is a publication out. All they ask for is a contribution. They ask for a contribution, and you can pick up whatever you want in terms of supporting them financially. They don't care. Whatever works for you. The name of that publication, they took a name from, I would have to say, Stephen King's greatest book of all time. It's called The Stand. It's patterned after the Kiplinger newsletter, for those of you who remember Kiplinger. Within a very short period of time, you can get all of the pertinent information pertaining to our society, our politics, etc., etc., from this particular publication. Danny, we got to take a real quick break. Let our commercial sponsors say what they have to say, and then we're going to be right back. Ladies and gentlemen, we're having some fun this week. Stick around.
Your weekly fix on finance and investing. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Hey, welcome back. Continuing my discussion with Dan Pacini, Freakin op-ed contributor and portfolio manager. Danny, I want to talk a little bit more right now about the economic situation in the United States right now. Let's start out, if you don't mind, discussing the total shamble that our Social Security system is in, and the current administration, as previous administrations, is doing absolutely nothing about it. What are your comments, bud?
Well, we're on the cusp of something, and I'm not sure what it is, and I don't know when it's going to happen. The Fed keeps the punch bowl out there as long as it possibly can, $8.3 trillion balance sheet. It makes me nervous. We're bound to hit some serious inflation. They say it's fleeting. That remains to be seen. Their spending is off the charts. We can't spend numbers like that. $5.something trillion on pet programs. Someone's got to put a stop to this, or we're going to have real problems. The correction's going to be substantial and deep and difficult for a lot of people. And these recessions hit the lowest categories the worst. So we have mismanagement right now. It remains to be seen what they're going to be able to pass. So it's hard to make a prediction. I'm inclined to think after their recent disasters at the border and then in Afghanistan that perhaps they won't be as successful. There'll be a little momentum to stop the damage they want to do economically. But we've got some severe problems in this country with spending. This is not the time to spend money like that. And their attempts to help people out of COVID have gone way farther than they need to, and they don't seem to want to stop. They love to use a circumstance where they can spend more money, and the Republicans are helping them. It's really hard to watch the Republican Party. They're embarrassing themselves. They've certainly embarrassed themselves in this infrastructure discussion to celebrate that they were able to put together the largest infrastructure package in history. Oh, my gosh. When can you not work with Democrats to spend money? It's just ridiculous. So I'm nervous. I think people ought to be very cautious in markets today, particularly buying real estate and buying stocks. We're at extremely expensive prices right now. So be very careful in what you buy. Go more conservative would be my advice.
Dan, I'm curious about one thing. You mentioned real estate. Stocks, I'm not real concerned about. Real estate, I am. Where do you think the real estate market, let's say in the Northwest and in the Bay Area, is going to go over the next couple of years?
Well, we have to be honest. There's a lot of money sloshing around. People saved a lot of money during the pandemic. They were given a lot of free money. And there's a lot of wealth. We have a lot of wealth. People can still buy properties and they can keep bidding them up. And, of course, there are now private business companies that are out there buying single-family homes and other real estate and competing with the average person just wants a place to live. So this can go on for a period of time. But interest rates, if we need to raise interest rates to ratchet up, to counteract some of this inflation, then all of a sudden, you know, people who are payment shoppers when they buy real estate, it's going to be tougher and tougher, and so you can see a real correction in markets. It's just a question of when. You know, as a person who's been in financial markets for 35 years or so, it's hard to time a market. You just can't know. This could go on for years, or it could go on for days, and you just don't know. So, but I'd be very cautious, and I certainly wouldn't be in here buying things that seem ridiculous to you. Just stay out. That's my advice to people.
Well, that's kind of what I'm doing right now. I'm just staying where I am. But it's I got to tell you, man, it's pretty easy to stay in my place because we're on a golf course, and I love that. Anyway, having said that, what I am really concerned about right now is the amount of spending, though, that the government is. Basically, the government is paying people not to work. We have some very close friends up here, and I use the word we because this particular friendship started when Kath was still alive. An Italian couple has opened a restaurant, a really, really upscale Italian restaurant down in an area by us called Birch Bay. It's called Scampi Osteria, and what's happened with them, and I'm probably going to mention this numerous times on this program, is that they cannot get help. Consequently, Giovanni, i.e. Johnny, is not only the head chef, award-winning chef, by the way, but he's also the head dishwasher. And Nevin, his wife, his wife is basically not only a bus girl, but she is also the only waitress they have. People are supporting them, but she has told me on the QT, so to speak, and this really isn't confidential, it's very obvious, they simply can't hire people. And when small businesses like theirs can't hire people, small businesses but go out of business. They're no longer small businesses. They're not businesses at all. Comments?
Well, the problem is that our government keeps wanting to be in competition with everything else. They want to be in competition in healthcare, and they want to be in competition for finding employees. They're going to pay them to not work. I mean, I don't know how you can think that that's going to have a good ending. The fact of the matter is that the average employer can't compete with the federal government that is paying people to sit on their couch.
Right.
And that's got to stop. The government has got to get out of the business of helping us with every little problem that we have. Americans have to get back to where we learn to take care of ourselves. We don't look to government. This creeping socialism is damaging to us. We have to save money. We have to prepare for these eventualities where something bad happens. We are out of work for a period of time. You have to make sure that you can allow for stuff like that. You have to keep your family strong. When you can rely on your family that, hey, I'll get in a scrape, there's someplace I can go, someone who can help. We have to take care of ourselves and stop looking to government because it's a mistake. And in this case, they're extending the problem. These poor companies, I don't know what the answer is for them when the government is paying people to slouch. It's got to stop, but it's not going to stop because the left wants this. They are trying to get people addicted to government.
You know, unfortunately, I think it's a very astute statement. I think the government is trying to get people addicted to government, and they've taken the correct segment of our population, Dan. I mean, they're addressing this issue to minorities. They're addressing it to low demographic Caucasians. They're addressing it to people who really, really, they made our country great in the past, and I got to tell you, they have to be given the opportunity, Dan, to do it again. Right now, they simply do not have their opportunity to do that. And I think I'm very, very sad about that. Ladies and gentlemen, got to take a real quick commercial break. Going to be right back after that commercial break and chat more and more and more about the fallacies of the fact that we're in a good situation in our country. Stick around.
To find out more about today's guests, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You're listening to the Corlin Economics Report. We'll be back in a moment. Providing unique reporting on markets and companies since 1990. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Welcome back to KER Politics with your host Al Corlin and co-host Jim McKinney. Al has interviewed Dan Pacini. We are moving on now to the end of the day, at the end of the show, to talk about some very, very important issues. One, I believe, will be Afghanistan, the continuation of what's happening there and the relationship between the Taliban and China, and some of the latest information on the COVID crisis, as well as some real disturbing job numbers that just came out this morning. So, Al, what do you want to continue on with at this time?
Well, I'll tell you, first. I want to start, Jimmy, out with, number one, I really appreciate you coming on as the co-host of the show. I want to start out by saying, you know, I fact-checked through The Stand, which is a great website, a lot of things that have happened with Joe Biden of late. And the one I want to start out with, believe it or not, is something that I heard last night on the news about 11 o'clock, and that is that China is right around the corner from recognizing the Taliban as the official government of Afghanistan, and they have already offered to do everything they can to help the Taliban. Now, the one thing I want to say about that is the Democratic response on this particular interview, Jim, that I saw was, what's the big deal? Who cares? The Chinese are doing that all over the world. I have to say that's about the most ignorant statement I've ever heard in my life. Back to you, Bud.
You know, it makes you wonder what the objectives of this administration, this regime right now, what their objectives are in relation to China dominating global markets, especially rare earth metals, and the potential with both copper mining and lithium mining in Afghanistan through their Belt and Road Initiative. The Chinese government is right now, according to the Taliban spokespeople, the number one supporter of the Taliban financially, militarily, and economically. The Chinese have a tremendous interest in expanding influence in the region and access to those rare earths and controlling what they already now control, about 80% of the globe's rare earth capacity. From a strategic perspective, you have to wonder what is going on with U.S. national security advisors and policy directives when they're allowing the Chinese to continue to expand. And then this pullout, which is so embarrassing to the U.S. military, to U.S. diplomacy, leaving Americans behind, leaving billions of $85+ billion worth of military equipment and hardware to a group of people that came in and shot their way into power with zero Western values on human rights. This is unbelievable that they're just tolerating and sitting back and allowing that the Biden administration is allowing this to happen.
Well, I agree 1,000%. You know, the Stan mentioned early this morning that the big mistake that Biden made, and this was voiced by Nikki Haley, she said the wrong thing for the president to do was to call the Afghan president because he wanted to change the perception that the Taliban was gaining power. Very, very disturbing conversation between Biden and Afghans, I guess I'd have to say, deposed president. Any comments on that, Jimmy?
Yeah, I think we have to just go back to 2 years ago when a phone call between President Zelensky of Ukraine and Donald Trump was used for an impeachment ceremony when Trump had basically said nothing wrong, but it indicated, hey, you have to investigate some of the corruption right now that involved with Hunter Biden. It turns out that Hunter Biden, after that impeachment effort, turns out that Hunter Biden has a tremendous amount of evidence against him in corruption and abuse and some very clear issues. They went forward with it, the Democrats went forward with an impeachment over that, a political impeachment. And now we're seeing actual American citizens die, 13 soldiers, Marines and soldiers. We're seeing American citizens left behind in a country where people are being actually executed on the street.
Yep.
And this administration, the Democrats, are sitting back trying to cover it up with their media sycophant supporters. It's unbelievable. I can't believe America has come so far down so rapidly under this administration.
Well, it's taken really, I would have to say, just a little over 6 months, and we have really dropped and dropped and dropped. Now, Joe Biden right now is touting his, quote, his Afghan evacuation as an extraordinary success. Keep in mind, this is the evacuation that enabled the Taliban to take control of our allies in Afghanistan. I mean, of course they're going to do that. They're at war with us. It's time that we realize that we are at war with them. Jimmy, you're on, Bud, again.
You know, I just, So as a military planner, as someone who has spent much of his career doing counterterrorism, hostage rescue, counter-WMD, been involved in 7 non-combatant evacuation operations at multiple embassies around the world, the fact that the military allowed this to go forward had to be directed by, well, by senior leadership in the Department of Defense and as well as this administration. They absolutely failed the American people and the Afghan government that they were supporting. And of course, when Joe Biden gets on a phone call and says, hey, look, let's lie about it, let's cover up what's happening, then we can support you, that is despicable and incredibly dangerous. Without the proper planning, without the proper positions, without the airfield at Bagram or Kandahar, we were in a very difficult position, and it was there was no excuse for it. There was no excuse. Completely failed. They managed to pull off a very large evacuation at the last minute, which shows you that we have the capacity and the capability. So why the heck had they not planned for it before, after they publicly have admitted over multiple press conferences, and that's Biden, Lloyd Austin, the Secretary of Defense, Anthony Blinken, the Secretary of State, Jake Sullivan, the National Security Advisor, they've admitted that they felt that the Taliban was going to take over in 30, 60, 90 days, 120 days. Why the heck did they not prepare for it if, in fact, that's what they were concerned about? Or if they weren't concerned about it, there's something much more nefarious going on behind the scenes here. And that bothers me more than anything else. We are unable to trust, and we do not know what deals were cut behind the scenes with both China, the Taliban, potentially Pakistan, and possibly even Iran.
Jim, we've got to close out this hour here in about a minute. I just want to say one thing, and that is that I have talked with numerous, not conservatives, but liberals here in our neighborhood of Semiahmoo, and I want to say that one gentleman who I spoke with, I will not give his name, made a very, very interesting comment, and I have to say that this gentleman is not what I would exactly call a conservative supporter. But I will say that this gentleman is very, very bright. He's one of the brightest people who I know up here in our neighborhood. His comment about the situation in Afghanistan was very, very simple. He said, well, number one, President Obama didn't really do anything about Afghanistan. President Trump didn't really do anything about Afghanistan. And now Joe Biden isn't really doing anything about Afghanistan. You know, I agree 1,000%. It's time that people understood the fallacies of what's going on right now on both sides of the aisle. We're going to be right back.
Welcome back to KER Politics. This is Jim McKinney, co-hosting with Al Forland today. We've talked a little bit about Afghanistan and the problem with China taking over rare earths and some of the policies that the Biden administration is absolutely failing America with. And now we're going to talk a little bit, I guess, the other thing that's failing America right now, and that's the COVID crisis. The administration has come back, like with Afghanistan, told one thing one week and then completely came back again a week later. They said that, hey, everybody gets vaccinated, this goes away. Well, that's not the case. We're actually seeing increased rates. And they can't really identify, they say it's the Delta variant, but there's some indications that, in fact, a large percentage of people that are going back in with COVID actually have been double vaccinated. And so they're pushing a third vaccination. And you have to consider what is going on with the pharmaceutical industry and this administration when they are pushing vaccinations, but they're not pushing treatments, and they are not questioning some of the numbers that are out there with those, you know, successful treatment processes. And they haven't been talking about natural immunity from people that have actually that have had it in the past. And some of the latest information that the CDC is putting out, twice as many people have had COVID as previously thought. Well, that means the death rate is significantly less. That cuts the death rate, the infection fatality rate, the IFR, in half. That's a pretty significant number, and it definitely changes the perception of how deadly the disease was and what's the justification for continued lockdowns. And these lockdowns are absolutely beginning to damage the economy in very, very disturbing ways. Supply chain issues and, of course, unemployment. And we just had a very, very low new jobs report where only about 265,000 jobs came in when there was expectations of about 700,000. And that brings us into some significant issues as this administration apparently is unable to manage this issue, manage our economy, or foreign affairs all at once. Al, what do you have to think? What do you have to say about this?
Well, there's no question about that. A couple of comments. Number one, on the COVID situation, I think you have to use common sense. What do I mean by that? Well, what I mean by that is somebody like myself who is, aged, for lack of better terms, but in great shape, I have to add, Tony and everybody else. I want to say that we got to be careful. Does that mean we have to quarantine? Does that mean we have to adhere to lockdowns? Absolutely not. We just have to use common sense. As one of my daughters said, just use common sense. You know, don't put yourself in an environment that may be dangerous for you. Point number one. Point, you've been saying that for months and years, Jimmy. Point number two, I want to talk a little bit about the job situation. I think that I'm not surprised. We have so many people, Jim, in our neck of the woods who cannot hire right now because the government is giving too much away. They can make more money on entitlements than they can working. I have some close friends who own a very, very interesting Italian restaurant, the only one of any class in the neighborhood, in my opinion. They are running it as a husband and wife team. And what do I mean by that? Well, the husband is an outstanding five-star chef. He's doing the cooking. He also has to wash the dishes. And his wife, unfortunately, has to wait on all the tables. Now, having said that, the only thing I can say to people listening here in Semiahmoo is the name of the restaurant is Scampi Osteria. It is a great restaurant. Please patronize them. Having said that, and that's not a paid advertisement. Having said that, I want to say that because of what's going on right now, an entitlement crisis that is very, very close to being reality is very, very dangerous. It's something, Jim, that I have been following since the late 1990s. It's called Social Security. Social Security will not be able to pay recipients by 2034. You don't think that's going to change our country? Come on, man. That's going to kill us. What do you think?
I think it's absolutely crazy that people keep kicking this down the road, that right. Our elected officials keep kicking it down the road. Hey, I want to make one correction that I said earlier. I said 265,000 jobs. No, it's 235,000 jobs.
Right.
Compare with a predicted 700 to 720,000 jobs. There are a couple of reasons for that. One is the subsidies, the unemployment subsidies the federal government's providing and some states. Those subsidies are still continuing in the very large states, in New York, California, you know, the big influencing states, because they have such large populations. And what's that? There's another issue out there. These same states, these Democratic blue states, they've got additional lockdown procedures. Businesses can't have any continuity, and they have no idea of what's coming next. So they're unable to hire. They're not going to take those risks because they don't know. And of course, a lot of them are having to shut down because they can't keep up with the demand. and they don't have enough employees to work, and that's really putting an incredible stress on our economy. It's really hurting individuals. It's making it, 6 months ago, I ordered a refrigerator for my new construction. Right. I can't get it yet. There's all kinds of things
that are going on. I didn't want to say anything, but when I met you at your new place last night, looking around the kitchen, you got a lot of stuff missing, not necessarily just in the kitchen, and it's got nothing to do with your ability. It's totally not your fault. I had my bathroom totally redone. Instead of taking 2 weeks, it ended up taking a total of 3 months because of the supply chain.
This is incredibly damaging to the economy. Of course, we're seeing the result is inflation, but you're also seeing a dependence on, again, Chinese manufacturing in order to fill the gap. It's really putting pressure on U.S. manufacturers. They continue with the lockdowns. Chinese are continuing to control resources and assets. There is something very nefarious going on right now in global economics. And when you add to that your pointed concern, which the entitlements of the Social Security, and I don't call Social Security an entitlement because I've paid for it my whole life, you know. entitlement are those people that are getting stuff for nothing for free that I'm paying for through my taxes. Right. This is something that, hey, if I would have put that money away, I'd be in good shape. But thank goodness I'm not dependent upon them, and I don't think anybody else should be either. They better take care of themselves before they can trust this government.
Yeah, I disagree. I don't disagree at all on that one. When I basically got out of the conventional investment sector, I want to elaborate on something I said earlier, by the way. This was back in about 1997, 1998. Went into the precious metals sector, and the reason I did that is because, among other things, I saw the Social Security crisis as being a very real reality. Back in those days, I'm back into I would call the conventional sector now, though, because I believe we are structured right now in our country in such a way that if either the Democrats or the Republicans want to maintain any power whatsoever, they better make darn sure that the stock market does not go in the tank, and they can goose the market all they want. I know all about that. So I'm pretty confident that in the next, I would have to say, for the next 3 to 5 years, I'm going to be fine in the conventional market. One last comment, and then we got a break we have to cut it. My final comment is I'm very proud to have Lieutenant Colonel retired Jim McKinney as a co-host on this show. Jim has proven to me and to our listeners that he is very, very well informed from a boots on the ground situation. What does that do to us? That makes us the best website in terms of current events. It's fun putting together the show. See you next week.
The Corlin Economics Report is produced for A.B. Corlin and Associates. Opinions expressed on this program are intended solely for the entertainment of our listeners, do not constitute investment advice, and are not necessarily those of this network, radio station, or our sponsors. Find out more about this program and today's guests by visiting www.kereport.com. For Al Corlin, this is Colleen Robbins. Join us again next week for the Corlin Economics Report.